Time now for the Buckeye Breakdown, powered by Warther Cutlery in Dover. It's all about the Buckeyes as the guys give a recap of last week's game and preview what's coming up for the Buckeyes.
Welcome into this week's edition of Buckeye Breakdown, presented by Warther Cutlery in Dover. Check out their wooden cutting and serving boards, personalized with Ohio State, local high school teams, and other designs for a unique gift and home decor item. That's Warther Cutlery in Dover. I'm your host, Joe Geckler, and it's my pleasure to welcome in Jeremy Birmingham from LettermanRow.com. And Jeremy, the Buckeyes handled their business last week against Oregon State. They hammered them 77-31. Dwayne Haskins on fire from the first snap, as he threw for 313 yards on 22 of 30 passing, 5 touchdowns. He did have one interception, though. He also ran the ball 2 times for 24 yards. How impressed are you by his performance last week?
Well, I think it's sort of what people expected we'd see out of him. I mean, obviously there's a ton of hype around Dwayne, and getting the opportunity to get his first start against a Power 5 team that obviously had some question marks and wasn't a great team a year ago, it's a nice opportunity for him to start his career on the right foot. And I think the biggest thing, of course, for me, and I think a lot of people, is just seeing how accurate he was with the football. Until the third quarter, when he got hit a few times and was under pressure, I think there's only really one throw that wasn't right where it needed to be, and that one was the long shot to Paris Campbell that I think still should have been caught. So it is that difference that we've been expecting to see from Dwayne, as opposed to what we saw the last handful of years with JT Barrett.
Mike Weber also had a day, 20 carries, 186 yards, 3 touchdowns. But the team as a whole ran the ball very well, 375 yards and 5 touchdowns. A very balanced offense in week one.
Yeah, and that's what the Buckeyes want. They've routinely said over the last handful of years they want 250 yards a game passing and 250 yards a game rushing. Last week it was closer to 350. And obviously for Ryan Day, who's sort of known as an offensive guy, that's pretty impressive to come out of the chute and be that balanced. I don't know that it will always be Mike Weber with such a big game. Some weeks it'll be J.K. Dobbins. Some weeks it'll be more even. But for the Buckeyes, when you can get to your fourth tailback and then you still see the fourth tailback busting off long touchdown runs, it's pretty impressive what that group and then the offensive line was able to do.
We've talked about Haskins. We've talked about the running game. Now let's give some love to the wideouts. They looked really good last week as well, led by Captain Terry McLaurin, KJ Hill, and the boys. That wide receiver room has a lot of veteran leadership, Berm.
No doubt. I mean, there's 3 senior captains in that group, but I think for me the most impressive thing is how much better that group has gotten at catching the football. And I think if you've ever played catch with somebody and you play catch with one guy who doesn't throw the ball super hard, and then you throw it with another guy that has a cannon like Dwayne Haskins does, there's a major adjustment to be made. And it's impressive to me that group seemed to be right on board with that. There was a couple times when you saw guys that almost looked like they were surprised at how fast the ball got on them. I saw that in the first quarter with KJ Hill, and happened to Austin Mack later in the game, and then Rashad Berry as well. One went right through Rashad's hands. But you know, that's going to take time to get used to when you're used to a ball that was a little bit different with JT.
You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show, presented by DAC Vitamins and Minerals on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler here, talking with Jeremy Birmingham from LettermanRow.com on Buckeye Breakdown, presented by Warther Cutlery in Dover. Berm, let's jump to the defensive side of the ball. They gave up 31 points and almost 400 yards of offense to the Beavers on Saturday. Are you concerned at all about the defense?
Well, I mean, there is obviously reason to be concerned. But Oregon State had 82% of their yards on 7 plays, so obviously it looks like the Buckeyes are going to be susceptible to the big play this year. But I think some of that will be rectified just when you get fully healthy, when you get Tuff Borland back in the middle for more than the 10 snaps he played last week, when you get Jordan Fuller back. And, of course, you also have to remember that a handful of those big plays came in the second half when Nick Bosa wasn't playing, Draymond Jones wasn't playing, Chase Young only played a handful of snaps. The Buckeyes went out of their way to play a lot of young guys, a lot of inexperienced guys, and I think that there's a reason for that. It's because they want to be able to see what these kids can do when forced into action. So at the end of the day, I think, in a way, I'd rather have a game where you walk out of it having some question marks to start the season, as opposed to a game where you come out and win that game 91-3 or whatever, and all of a sudden you feel like you're on top of the world and unbeatable. So to me, it's good to have some learning opportunities.
Bermie just mentioned it a minute ago. A lot of the young guys got to play, and we saw it early on in the game. If you were there or even watched it on TV, you saw a lot of rotation with a lot of the young kids coming in. At your last count, how many young freshmen or redshirt freshmen got to play last Saturday?
Well, there were 16 true freshmen that played on Saturday, and a total of the 85-man scholarship roster, 71 guys played. So it's a pretty incredible number. And, you know, it's something with the new redshirt rule this year, being that you're allowed to play in four games and still redshirt. We'll see that probably tomorrow as well, depending on how the weather shakes out for the Rutgers game. But, you know, the Buckeyes want to get these young pups some opportunities and a chance to go out there and show what they can do in game time situations, because it's really not something you can replicate in practice. And I think it's a great thing for these young guys.
I noticed earlier this week it was announced that Cooper was going to start over Chase Young at defensive end. Does that surprise you at all?
It doesn't. I think, you know, Jonathan was a five-star prospect coming out of high school as well. So and he's got an extra year in the program over Chase. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter. Those guys are going to play a similar number of snaps no matter what. I think Chase might be a guy that, you know, they like in more of the straight-up pass rush situations. I think we saw him a few times on Saturday getting a little ahead of himself, a couple offsides penalties, and I think they want more consistency out of him. And Coop may be a little bit more reliable at this point, where Chase may be providing more of the explosive play.
Of all the years that you've covered the Buckeyes, Berm, have you seen a better 1-2 combo from Chase Young and Nick Bosa, and now throw Jonathan Cooper in that mix?
It's hard to say. I mean, the way that those two were able to get to the quarterback as quickly as they did last week was pretty incredible, especially Nick Bosa. I mean, I watched Joey a couple years ago in the 2015 season, and he was being triple teamed pretty much every single game and still getting to the quarterback. But how quickly Nick was able to get in the backfield is really rare, and I think that it obviously behooves Chase Young or Jonathan Cooper to be opposite that, because it's impossible for an offensive line to really give those guys the attention they deserve when Nick Bosa is requiring so much.
And Berm, let's put week one behind us, and let's talk Rutgers now. Urban was back at practice this week, game planning and such. From what you've seen and heard, how has practice been this week? Are they prepared for the Scarlet Knights tomorrow?
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt they're going to be prepared for Rutgers. Again, this is a team they beat 114-0 in the last 2 years. So the function here for the Buckeye coaching staff this week has been to try to eliminate that sort of that feeling of we can't lose to these guys, because they want these, you know, it's a different Rutgers team. They won 35-7 a week ago, didn't give up a defensive touchdown. They have a talented true freshman quarterback who is making only a second start of his career. So they're going to try to get in his head early. But as far as Urban's presence goes, it's not really that different. I mean, again, we said it during the preseason, but it's been business as usual for the Ohio State team because they have so many veteran leaders on the team. They haven't really been as distracted as people would expect them to be.
Bermie, you mentioned it just a second ago and leads me into this question, 114-0 over the last two seasons. Has Chris Ash improved this team enough to be competitive tomorrow?
On the surface, straight up, I don't think so. But again, we're talking about a night where it looks like it's going to rain pretty much the entire game. You need a break or two to go your way, and you maybe need Ohio State to come in overlooking you a little bit and looking ahead to TCU. All those things are possible. I don't anticipate that Rutgers has closed the gap that much, or really at all. The Buckeyes are, in my opinion, the best Ohio State roster that I've ever seen in my life from top to bottom. So you'd imagine with the leadership they have and the talent that they have that they'd be ready to go. But the college football has shown us over the years anything can happen.
So what then would be your prediction concerning the weather and, you know, obviously factoring in the weather and everything tomorrow? What is your prediction for the Buckeyes and Rutgers at the Shoe kickoff at 3:30?
Earlier this week on the Letterman Row Live show, I had said that I thought it would be like a 56-10 game. That was before I really saw that the weather showing pretty much rain the entire game. I would think in that 42-14 range, something might be a sloppy game, but talent-wise, Ohio State is just too far ahead of them to be close.
Absolutely. And, Byrne, we know recruiting is your passion. The dead period is over. How have the recruits reacted to Urban being back this week?
Well, everyone's been happy to have him back. The main message I've got kids and their families is that he's energetic and ready to go, that he's looking to put the last 6 weeks behind Ohio State and himself. He hasn't been talking about it. He has, you know, been willing to, of course, answer questions and talk to kids if they wanted to talk about it, but he wants to focus on the future and get back to making sure this 2019 class, which only has 3 months left before signing day starts in December, is a great class. And right now they have some work to do, and that's where the focus is.
Well, Byrne, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking me time to join me here on Buckeye Breakdown. I'll see you tomorrow in the rainy city of Columbus. We look forward to talking to you again next week, bud.
Thanks, Joe.